الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, in the last session of Darsi Hadith, we were on the subject of Arz-e-Sham. Arz-e-Sham, that entire region upon which the entire humanity will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all shall be judged. In the Arab parts of the world, Arz-e-Sham or Sham is one specific area which is known as Syria. And when you land at Syria airport, if you are a person who is going to Damascus, then the capital city is also known as Sham. And if you are someone living in Homs or other areas of Syria, that is not considered to be Sham. But generally that entire region, as mentioned earlier on, is known as Arz-e-Sham, the region of Sham. The reason why Syria is specifically known as Sham is that during the Khilafat of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, one must remember that Hazrat Amir Muawiyah is a great Sahabi of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name must be taken with great respect. A lot of the Juhala in the world today speak foul about Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an is also Qatib Wahi, one of the scholars, one of the scribes whose duty was to write down the revelation that came upon Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One must remember that we are living in a time where there are many, many munafiqeen, many, many hypocrites. I have a book here in front of me, Sunni standpoint, and the reason I want to show you this is that also in Syria a great mujahid is resting, inshallah. In fact, what we can do is when we get to that subject we can open up on that. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was the Khalifa, what he did is that he transferred the capital city to Syria, and Damascus became the capital of the entire Islamic Empire during his time. And the Amir of the Muslims at that time was living in Damascus, and he was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. And that is why Sham is known as Syria, and that area, Damascus, where Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an had taken up residence. As mentioned earlier on, that many, many great, great mujahideen, great, great scholars are resting in Syria. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an is resting in Syria, the muazzin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His partner Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum is resting in Syria. Also the great warrior Fatih Sham, the one who conquered Sham, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an, who is at Maqam Hims, an area known as Hims, Sayfun min suyufillah, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, you hear the name every Friday in the khutbah, alhamdulillah. ولكل أمة أمين وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. حضور عليه الصلاة والسلام has said that every community has someone who is trustworthy. Amin was the name given to Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم by the Meccans, the Kuffar at that time before Nabuwat was given to him. He was known as Muhammad al-Amin. And that title later on was transferred to Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. These are the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَمِينُ وَهَذِي الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةُ بْنُ الْجَرَّاهِ. And he is also resting in Syria, in Dimashq, a great mujahid. Also in Syria is one companion whose name is Hazrat Dahya bin Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala, famously known for his beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him incredible, incredible khubsurti, incredible beauty. He was so beautiful that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam had appointed him to go towards Qaisar with the royal letter that was written by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Qaisar saw Hazrat Dahya bin Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala, he just stood there for a moment looking at the beautiful face of Hazrat Dahya bin Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala. He said that when he would walk in the streets of Madinatul Munawwara, all the women would come out to look at him. But then one must remember that this was in the early stages, when later on, alhamdulillah, when the ayat of hijab came along, subhanallah, and slowly when the tarbiyat was done, full, alhamdulillah, full sharia laws were implemented, and everyone respected the ayat of hijab at that time. But he was very, very beautiful. It is said that kana Jibreel yati an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi suratihi ahyanan. His face was so beautiful that even Jibreel Amin, when he would come in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have the face of Dahya bin Kalb. So many times the companions would be there and they would think that it is Dahya bin Kalbi, and they would speak to him and touch him. And later on, Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam would point out to them, no, no. And that is the time they would understand that this is not Dahya bin Kalbi, it is Hazrat Jibreel Amin radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah. And this is the power that was given to Jibreel Amin, that he could transform, he could come in any shape. This was the ni'mah. It's very hard for anyone to see Hazrat Jibreel Amin in his original form that Allah has created him into. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also, it is said in the hadith, when Jibreel Amin would come into her hujra, her room, she was the fortunate one. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her so much, and she would often say that even whilst lying in the area where Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam was resting, Hazrat Jibreel Amin would come and reveal the Quran upon Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my room. In my room. That was her shan. And she understood everything of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's very last stage of life, he passed, was also in the room, in the hujra of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And one day Jibreel Amin came, and Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, Ya Aish, come here. And one name also that was given to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was Humaira. What name was it? Humaira. Humaira was a name given to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha because of the great love that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam had for her. Humaira was someone who was very beautiful and very, very red, and that is the name Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam gave. Some of the ulama have said that with this hadith quoted, that one out of the love of his wife can give her a second name out of love, can give her a second name out of love. But that name should be something that is good. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَنَابُزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. You are not to spoil anyone's name. It should be a beautiful name, a name that is good. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam said to her, Ya Humaira, and that is why we have, mashaAllah, a lot of girls who come to the madrasa, alhamdulillah, even their names are Humaira, because that was the title given to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam called her and said to her, Look, O Aisha, Jibreel Amin is here and he is giving you salam. So that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was actually looking for Jibreel Amin, and Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam could see him. And she said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, how lucky Jibreel is that he can see me and I can't see him. He can see me and I can't see him. Hazrat Jibreel Amin was looking at her, and Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, Ya Aish, O Aisha, Jibreel is giving you salams. Giving you salam. This was the darja. Ma'az Allah, astaghfirullah al-azim. And the Shias, they talk foul about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And this is out of hasad and jealousy. Nothing but hasad and jealousy. Astaghfirullah al-azim. So Hazrat Dahya bin Kalbi is also resting in Syria. And Jibreel Amin would come fi suratihi ahyanan, in the form and in the shape of Hazrat Dahya bin Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala an. He is the same companion. One day he gave Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam hadiyah. And what was that hadiyah? That hadiyah was khuffain, the two leather socks. Khuff, samajhte na? Upon which you just have to do masakh. One must remember the masla, that it should be leather socks and quite thick. If you go in some parts of the Arab world, they have this habit that they just make masa on the normal socks they are wearing, the nylon socks or whatever. And according to the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that is not jaiz. It should be khuf, and there are conditions when you can put them on and when you can do masa on it. And it should be the leather socks, mashallah. Brothers who go to Jamaat, Tablighi Jamaat, you will see the brothers involved in the work of Jamaat often wearing the khuf. And it is good when you go to Safar, you must wear the khuf so you can make amal on the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Dahya bin Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala an, a grand sahabi of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, is also resting in Syria. Out of women, one of the wives of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is buried and is resting in Syria, Dimashq, Babu Sagir, in that Qabristan. And that is Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha. Habiba was known as Ramala, And then later on, when she married Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was known as Habiba. The Arabs have that habit that if you have a daughter and a son, that is the title that you are given. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was known as Abul Qasim. The reason is that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam had a son whose name was Qasim. Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala an was married to this man whose name was Ubaidullah ibn Jahash. He was the brother of Zainab bint Jahash. Zainab bint Jahash is the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rishta samayin? Zainab bint Jahash, the wife of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. Zainab's brother is Ubaidullah ibn Jahash. He was married to Habiba radiallahu ta'ala an. And again, Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, her great quality was that she would hate those who were worshipping the idols. And her father, Abu Sufyan, was the leader of Makkah at that time, and no one dared to speak out against him. No one. So much so that he was very, very wealthy and rich. He is the one who financed all the wars against Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam in Ghazwe Uhud and in Ghazwe Badr. But yet, the daughter did not talk to the father. No relationship. She married Ubaidullah ibn Jahash. The father would very proudly say that no one has a daughter like my daughter. She is the finest daughter in Makkatul Mukarramah. Indicating that she was extremely, extremely beautiful. She married Ubaidullah ibn Jahash, and later on she migrated to Abyssinia. When she went to Abyssinia, Allah Kishan, look at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When she got there, she saw a dream that her husband Ubaidullah is in the middle of an ocean stranded there, and waves, dark waves are covering him, and his face has become all dark. He is in the middle of the ocean and waves are covering his face, and his face has become black, very, very dark. Early in the morning, when she woke up, she knew straight away that there is something wrong. That very morning, the husband Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh came to her and said to her that, "I am no longer a Muslim, I am a Christian." Ma'adallah. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives hidayat to who He likes, and Allah takes away hidayat from who He likes. It is said that because Fir'aun, when he saw the angels coming to him, he could see the unseen when death comes up, when ruh comes out. And that is why he said, "Amantu billah," now I bring iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just for him to utter the words at that time, "La ilaha illallah, Musa Rasulullah," and that Musa alayhi salam is the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him to utter those words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that time that his body is to be protected. That is what the ulama say. Just for him to say, "La ilaha illallah." But his shahada was not accepted, because at that time the ruh was taken out. He could see the malaika, he could see malakul maut, and the angels were there. So this man, Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh, was a Muslim. He became a Christian, because they migrated into a Christian country. Abyssinia at that time, the Najashi king was a Christian, a practicing Christian, and the people living in Abyssinia at that time were all Christian. But look at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Ubaidullah ibn Jahsh becomes a Christian, and on the other side, the king of Abyssinia becomes a Muslim. That's when we are. That is why in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, when the people of Jannat enter Jannat, they will be stopped on the entrance, and the angels will say, "Look, if you did not follow Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, this would have been your place in Jahannam." And Jahannam will open up for him in the front, and he will see his position. That if you did not die with iman, and if you did not have amal saliha, this would have been your position. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And for those who enter Jahannam, they will also be stopped. And at that time the angels will say, "Alam ya'atikum nazeerun?" Did nazeer not come to you? Who is nazeer? Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, the warner. And they will say, "Qalu bala qad ja'ana nazir." Oh, certainly, nazir did come. The Quran was translated into English, into French, into all the European languages. Everything was there. We heard of the Quran. We could hear the muazzin saying, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." We knew of the Muslims. We knew everything. Subhanallah. And this is the name that is given to the Muslims today: terrorists. Kya? Aaj main news sun raha tha, today after 10 years the dog that has been supporting Mr. Blunkett is on retirement. Mujhe to badi hansi aayi. And her name, the dog's name is Lucy. Kya naam hai? Ab kutta kitna wafadar hai? Allah. For 10 years has been with Mr. Blunkett. 10 years. Allah give hidayat to Mr. Blunkett. وہ مسلمان بن جائے موت سے پہلے. اللہ ان تمام کو ہدایت دے بھائی جی. But the dog is retiring now after 10 years, and now the cousin sister will be looking after Mr. Blunkett. Have you heard of that? No? It's there in the news, radio میں صبح میں آپ سنیں. وہ آیا سبحان اللہ العظیم. اللہ کی شان. میرے عزیز دوست اور بزرگ, میں کیا کہہ رہا تھا, کس بات کے اوپر, کہاں سے موضوع چلا گیا؟ نہیں, فرعون جو ہاں ہاں. Here this Ubaydullah ibn Jahsh from Islam became a Christian, and the Najashi, who was the leader of Abyssinia at that time and a staunch Christian, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayat. And the husband came to Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala, a strange country. She only knew how to speak the Arabic language. She was not familiar with the vernacular of Abyssinia at that time. And he left her no choice. He said to her that you either become a Christian or you either leave this country and go to your father. And she knew that if I go to the father will force me to become a mushrika, to worship the idols. Or otherwise, if you stay here, I will not support you at all. Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala, entirely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is said that she stayed all alone in Abyssinia for 10 years. Kitne saal? 10 years, Allahu Akbar. Akeli aurat. And she was a wealthy woman. Father was a very, very rich man. She came with a lot of wealth when she came to Abyssinia. But for 10 years, she made sabr. And whatever Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam does, all his actions are by the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day she was in her house and a lady knocked on her door, and a maid came and she says, Ya Umme Habiba, I have come from the Najashi king. He has sent me here that the Prophet of the Muslims, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has sent you a proposal that you marry him. Subhanallah. Huzur alayhi salam is in Madinatul Munawwara or nikah ka paigham to Abyssinia. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ حُزُورَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ does not do anything from his own impulse. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was so happy. She had jewelry and she gave all the jewelry to that lady at that time. And she says, tell the Najashi king that I am happy and I want to marry Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that in the nikah of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam with Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mehr, the dowry, was given by the Najashi king 400 gold coins. The highest paid mahr. How many? 400 gold coins. And this person came to me, he says, Mawlana Sahib, I'm in a problem. I says, what is your problem? He says, well, it's about my dowry. I don't want to give my dowry, mahar, to the woman that I have married, and because it seems that the future wasn't looking too bright for them. They were about to break off. So now the father-in-law is pressuring, of course, the daughter, that make sure you take out the dowry from him. So I said to him, I says, my brother, just give her the dowry. What is the problem? I was thinking that only 100 pounds, 200 pounds. 300 pounds, 400, zyada se zyada 500, bhai de do, kya? Give it to her. What are you going to fight with her for 400, 500? After all, you did marry her, and the consummation of the marriage did take place, rukhsati took place, you married her, whatever had happened. So give her that. He says, no, it's not a matter of 100, 200, 300, 400. I said, 1,000, de do. It's not 1,000 more, it is 10,000. Ya Allah, 10,000. I said, you must be joking. Are you joking? I said, itni nikah maine parai. Portugal mein I've been performing a lot of nikah, and there have been wealthy, wealthy maimans there, but nobody has yet given 10,000 pounds. All businessmen, but no. I said, making nikah here also, and then you see the register of the nikah, 60 pounds, 70 pounds, 101 pounds, 200 pounds, Mehr e Fatimi, 350, 400 pounds, 10,000 pounds. And he says, yes. I said, did you know that you have to pay 10,000 pounds? And he says, yes, but I was pressured. All the in-laws told me that just sign, and they said that, look at the figure of dowry, and I saw 10 with a few notes. And I just signed it. I said, your signature is there. I said, well, you have to give her dowry. I said, there is one way, there is a shortcut. I'll charge you, yeah, from the 10,000, you have to give me something. I didn't charge, astaghfirullah al-azim. Hamare Maulana Bilal sahab the, when people come to him for ta'weez, so many people come for him for ta'weez. So he said to me once, when people come to you for ta'weez, don't give them ta'weez for free, because then they'll always come to you. I said, Hazrat, what do you do? He says, when they come to me, I say to them, look, you want a ta'weez, no problem. What kind of a ta'weez do you want? And I say, Hazrat, what do you mean? He says, one ta'weez is for £50, the other one is for £100, the other one is for £250, the other one is for £500. And Hazrat is so serious about it. And the person in front is saying, I'll take the one that's £50. Allahu Akbar. So 400 gold coins were given. At that time, the king of Najashi was sitting, and the one who was the wakil of Hazrat Habiba, Najashi gave it to him. That is why dowry is very, very important. You have to give mahr to the woman when you marry. And the reason for that is that you're not putting a price on that woman. The woman is not worth £50 or £100 or 100, astaghfirullah al-azim. She is more than that. She is insan. She is khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani takween. Allah created Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam in Jannat. From the ribs of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, there is no price. And Allah does, and there is no such thing that a male is more superior than a female. In some cases, the female can be more superior than a male. Every individual is judged by the taqwa. But the only reason dowry is given is that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has said, when you exchange gifts by giving hadiyah, muhabbat is born into the heart. So this is a gift that you are giving her, and that is hadiyah. And it does not have to be money. It can be anything. Sahaba ikiram ajma'in, though there is fiqhi ikhtilaf, some of the companions made the recitation of the Qur'an a dowry. But again, is that allowed in the fiqh? That is another masla. So Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala eventually got married to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She is resting in Syria, and I have also, alhamdulillah, the photo of her mazar. And alhamdulillah, she is resting in Syria. And the Syrians, at least to some extent, have preserved the shrines of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een. And if these shrines were in Saudi Arabia, on the pretext of everything being bid'at, everything would have been bulldozed. This is what the Saudis are good for. Anything, any houses of the companions, bulldoze it. Why by bid'at? They don't want to bulldoze King Fahd's palace, but they want to, astaghfirullah al-azim, desecrate the houses of the companions, the trees, the wells of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'een, the wells. Subhanallah, sweet water is still there. And what do? They put stones inside it. Astaghfirullah. There is no nishani of nothing. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and his in Jannatul Baqi. No seerat, no information given to the people of who this great man who is resting in Jannatul Baqi was. Everything is bid'ah. You can stand in Jannatul Baqi and you want to pray, and then you have bodyguards there. I'm looking at you, no, this is bid'ah, this is, as if they are the only people who know sunnah. Astaghfirullah al-azim, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the problem with Syria is that the Syrians have protected everything so much in such a way that it is very, very close to being bid'ah. It is very, very close. So you have the two extremes. When you go to Syria, you feel that, subhanallah, it's more of a Barelvi type of environment. And when you go to Saudi Arabia, it's the other extreme. Everything becomes a bid'ah. And here you have everything. Astaghfirullah, when the shrines are made in Syria, what happens if there is a male companion, a sahabi resting there, or someone, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they even make a shape of the amama, like an amama put on. And that is all bid'ah, and that is not jais. Hazrat Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha is resting. One of the qualities of Hazrat Habiba is that she would make amal on every hadith she heard from Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is said that she would always read 12 rakats nafal salat in her 24 hours. And she would say to the women folks in her time that I have heard from Huzur alayhi salam that anyone who reads 12 rakats nafal, two rakats, 12, after any salah where nafal salat is jais, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for that individual a palace in Jannah. And from after hearing that hadith, it has been her habit every day she reads 12 rakats nafal salat. Allah Rabbul Alameen mujhe bhi taufeeq de, aap hazrat ko bhi taufeeq de ke hum is cheez ke upar amal kare. And her mazar in Syria, this is her mazar, the wife of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a must, it's an opportunity for the brothers, mashallah, if Allah has blessed you with wealth, to go to Syria and visit the mazar of Sahaba al-Kiram ajma'in. And again in Syria, unfortunately, there is this politics also played by Iran. A lot of the Ahle Bayt are resting also in Syria. And anyone who is related to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Ali and who are from the Ahle Bayt, the Iranian government has taken it upon them that they will look after the mazars and they will spend money. And the Syrian government, Syria has good ta'alluq with Iran, and that freedom is given to them. And you will notice the difference. This is the mazar of one of the Ahle Bayts. One of the Ahle Bayt, the children of Hazrat Ali, and you can see it is all in gold. All in gold. So every mazar when you go there, you will see the Shias there. And in some cases, ma'azallahi al-azim, Syria has been so flexible and so easy on them that they have even allowed Iran to build a masjid in that area, so the mazar comes inside the masjid, and slowly the imam is not a Sunni there, he is a Shia imam there. And one masjid when we went there, Allahu Akbar, millions of pounds must have been spent by the Iranian government at that time. And when we looked around that Ibadat Khana at that time, all it talked about was how important Khilafat is, and nothing about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That is why the Shia kalima and Sunni kalima, they are two different things. Ali Haider Naqvi has recorded the difference between Shia and Sunni kalima. Ali Haider Naqvi is a top alim of the Shia people, and he has said that the Shia kalima is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliyullah, وَسِيَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَخَلِيفَتُهُ بِلَا فَصْلِ. This is the kalima. And this is no exaggeration. Some people say, why do you say that Khojas are not Muslim, Ismailis are not Muslims? This is the reason. That the kalima does not match the kalima that was taught by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the Sunni kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to another great warrior who to the people was known as the great sultan, though not a sahabi, not a companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but bila shakk wa shubha, without any doubt, he was the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was known to his people as the great Sultan. And he is known today by the people, by the Muslims, alhamdulillah. Every Muslim child should know his name. The great Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Allah paak unki kabar mein karoro karoro rahmatein barsaye. Allah give him jazaya khair. He is the one when the Muslims overall ruled Jerusalem for 800 years, and when it was taken away from the Muslims after that, Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah, again made it an Islamic state, Jerusalem. It was taken away. Then for the second time, it was Hazrat Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was a great ashik of Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in. Great ashik. Before coming into Syria and that part of the Middle East, he was appointed as the Amir in Egypt. He was a Kurd. What was he? A Kurd, a Kurdish person from Iraq. And Iraq has a problem with Kurdistani people. He was born a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he ruled Egypt, he noticed that the influence of Shiism was very, very strong in Egypt. So strong, my respected brothers, that in Jummah khutbah, the Imams had omitted the names of Khulafai Rashidin. Brothers must notice that whenever you go to any masjid for Jummah, you will hear the hamdu sana of Allah, and then durood on Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, and then praises of Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in. Every masjid. Arhamu ummati bi ummati Abu Bakr, wa ashadduhum fi amrillahi Umar, wa ahyahum Uthman, wa aqzahum Ali. The tarteeb of Khulafai Rashidin is always mentioned. When he became the Amir of Egypt, he noticed, he went around the mosque, he noticed that slowly, the shuyukh, who were again not Sunnis, slowly Shia was taking power, Shiism was taking power in Egypt at that time. The ulama at that time would not mention the names of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. When he came into power, he made it a must in all the masajid and sent his own people to perform Salatul Jummah in all the different mosques and to make sure that the imams call out the name of Abu Bakr Siddiq. To make sure that they call out the names of Umar Farooq and Hazrat Uthman and Hazrat Ali. His ahsan on the ummah, Allahu Akbar, it's incalculable. As itne ahsanat hai, Hazrat Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayh, and this is his mazar. You have two mazars here. This is a fake, what do you call it? There is nothing here. It is the German king who was so pleased with Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi that as a memorial, he built something exactly like that in the area where Hazrat Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi is resting. The mazar of Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. I don't know what had happened is that I had a lot of pictures of also the mazar of Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, and in the last session the pictures were going out, and when I collected all the pictures, I noticed that Sultan Salahuddin's pictures are not there. Maybe he wants to become Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Well, brothers, if you become Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, you can keep everything. That's what we need. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. Khair? Oh, kuch ho gaya hoga. So this is taken from a postcard. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi's mazar is. And again, when you go and enter this room and stand in front of Hazrat Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, and when you read the Quran, and when you make isale sawab, Allahu Akbar Kabira, the feeling is absolutely different. My respected brothers, a great leader, to become a leader of a Muslim country, the ulama have said that Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, not talking from the companions, but from the people after that, Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi is the best model. He is the best model. Three qualities should be inside a person to become a leader. Is Saddam Hussein fit to be a leader? Have a look. Is Mr. Gaddafi fit to be a leader? Is Musharraf fit to be a leader? A lot of people say, "Ji, Maulvi leader bankar kya karenge? What will a Maulana do? What will a Maulana do? Who fears? Who fears the Muslims? Do you think the Kuffar fear Saddam Hussein today? No, Saddam Hussein kya? Kuch bhi nahi. Do the kuffar fear as Arafat? Arafat? No. Arafat is in prison, bichara. What can he do? Do the kuffar fear Musharraf? No, Musharraf. He is scared of the kuffar so much that he went to America. He said that, "I am a liberal-minded person." Itna ta darpok hai wo. Do you think the kuffar fear Gaddafi? Gaddafi was acting so brave, and when two missiles landed in his country, From then on, we've never heard of him. Never. And his daughter comes to Europe and she's always there in the casino and squandering with millions of pounds. So who fear? Who do the kuffar fear? Who do the kuffar fear? Kuffar fear those people who don't even know how to speak English. Bichare Mullah Omar, kuch bhi nahi. Nothing. No university, no nothing. But yet unka naam aa jaye to sare. That is why when you fear Allah, the whole world fears you. You fear Allah, the whole world fears you. But when you don't fear Allah, when you fear insan, you fear everyone. You become their poke. You don't become Khalid bin Walid. You are not the follower of Khalid bin Walid or Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah or Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi or Umar ibn al-Aziz, Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala, and all these companions. You don't. Subhanallah. Oh, some people when they talk, they say to me, oh, what can a Maulana do? And this is it. They think that if you know English, mashallah, ji, bahut acha alim hai. He speaks very, very nice English. What a great scholar he is. Did you hear his bayan in English? Did you see the fancy words he was coming out with? Huh? You'd rather sit with a dictionary and listen to him. Mashallah, he comes from South Africa. What a zabardast alim. He comes from the USA, United. Kya bolu, states to nahi bolne wala tha. They've gone mad. What have they gone? They've gone mad. And Allahu Akbar. And it is all coming to that last hour. Everything, the jigsaw puzzle is fitting perfectly well. Perfectly well. Very much time for Imam Mahdi to come out. Very close. Everything is perfect. What is happening to the world? Huh? Something that you can't imagine. But afsos ki baat ye hai, non-Muslim countries mein muzahara, processions and demonstrations are taking place that no war with Iraq and 56 Muslim countries are silent. You think Allah's Nusrat will come? In Russia, people are marching on the streets, no war. Rus. In Australia, demonstrations are taking place in Australia, no war in Iraq. But are there demonstrations in Saudi Arabia? Are there demonstrations in Kuwait? Are there? Allahu Akbar Kabira, mere azizo. What would have been the condition if Hazrat Umar Farooq was alive today? What would happen? When that person said that we have just come from Huzur alayhi salatu was salam and he passed his verdict to this person, and he was a munafiq, but he was showing Hazrat Umar that he was a Muslim. And he says, "Acha, you've been to the Prophet, and that's why you're coming to me." He says, "Wait," he took out a sword. Without thinking, Bashir Bhai, no thinking. No thinking. Subhanallah. If you are not happy with the faisla of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, there is no thinking. Uski gardan ko pakar kar ek baar, sar yaha, jisam waha. Akal, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. These were the great, great awliyaullah, great, great sahaba-i kiram ajma'in. And what is happening today, my respected brothers? Kaha se kaha, great model. One of the first qualities for anyone to become a khalifa or an amir of an Islamic state is that he should be a master of the Quran. A hafiz of the Quran, must know the tafsir of the Quran, he should be well versed in the Quran, he should be amil of the Quran. He must know everything of the Quran, and it is said that Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi was such a great alim, such a great alim of the Quran, such a great ashik of the Quran. It is said that even if he had to call someone, that by call that soldier from that area, he would recite four rukus of the Quran and then say, call him. Four rukus of the Quran and then he would say, call him. This is the deep love. That is why after Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's demise, jab aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dunya se parda kar gaye ji, aur agar aadmi istemal bhi kare lafz intiqal to adab ke sath, intaqal yantakilu ka mana ye hota hai to move from one place to another place. To is aitbar se you say when Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's intiqal took place from moving from this dunya to the hereafter in jannat, who was his successor? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Why? Because he was Sahib-e-Quran. In one night, when he read Tahajjud, 17 kuffar became Muslims just by listening to his Quran. Kitne? 17. In one session. And they told Hazrat Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tell Abu Bakr Siddiq, force him to go to Abyssinia because we can't take it. When he recites the Quran, all the young children gather around him. We fear that everyone will become Muslim. And there was this pressure, tell him to migrate, tell him to go out of Makkah. This was the power in the recitation of the Quran. And that is why Khilafat was given to him, because he knew the Quran. He was the master of the Quran. He is A'lamun Nas. Khilafat is given on the basis of Quran. He is A'lamun Nas. There was no one in that time, in the period of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, from the companion who was more knowledgeable than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he was the Khalifa of Huzur. And that is why after the demise of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that position was given to who? Hazrat Umar Farooq. And you will notice that all the companions, all the great people did khidmat of the Quran. We recite the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan, and that is the barakah of Hazrat Umar Farooq when he passed the fatwa that everyone should read 20 rakats, and it is important that you finish off one Quran in the 30 days of the month of Ramadan. Ye kiski barakat? And even in Syria, the handwritten copy of the Quran is still there. When Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an told Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala an that make sure you write the Quran, and he had this art in writing, subhanallah, khattat the wo. And he wrote the Quran, and that copy was sent to Syria. And it is said that sometimes after Asr Salat, the Imam opens up that Quran, handwritten by Hazrat Zaid radiallahu ta'ala. Master of the Quran was Hazrat Umar Farooq, and Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Uthman was famous for Quran. His death came on reciting the Quran. He was Sahib-e-Quran. There was this one Buzrug, it is said that every day in Jannatul Baqi, a Qari Sahib from Pakistan, he would sit in front of the mazar of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was a Majzub. He was a Majzub. It is, how would you translate Majzub in English? You don't know. You don't know what it is in Urdu, ne? It's alright. Aap bhi meri tarah ho, main bhi aapki tarah ho. Naqis. Aap mujhe Haji Sahib kaho, main aapko Haji Sahib kahunga. So, ye kya? He was always there in front of the mazar of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and his Qari Sahib would be there reciting the whole Quran. He was Majzub. Allah ke wali wo the. And someone said to him, Hazrat, every day you come here in front of Hazrat Uthman and you pray the Quran in front of him. He says, I have a connection with Hazrat Uthman. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and listens to my Quran every day. Listens to my Quran every day. Ye Allah walu ki shan hoti. This is spirituality, this is the ta'alluq that the Buzrugani Deen have. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, again, Sahib-e-Quran, a great mufassir of the Quran. So anyone who is the leader today, the first thing you put in front of him is how much of the Quran does he know? Mr. Gaddafi gave a fatwa that remove all the kuls from the Quran. Remove? And Mr. Saddam once said that, We Arabs are brothers. So what about the Pakistanis and the Hindustanis and the Bangladeshis and our Muslim brothers from Africa? Hamara kya hoga? But only when he saw that he was being pelted in the Gulf War, that is the time he took Tasbih out and he says, no, we are all Muslims. What did he say? We are all. But until before then, it was just, Nahnu Ikhwanul Arab, Nahnu Ikhwanul Arab. You hear his bayans in the radio, Nahnu Ikhwanul Arab, we brothers, we Arab brothers, we Arab brothers. What Arab brothers, right? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu. What was Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala, and who was he? Shu'ayb Rumi, Salman Farsi, so many companions. What were they? Subhanallah al-Azim. Imam Bukhari, was he an Arab? Was he an Arab? Imam Muslim, was he an Arab? Imam Tirmizi, was he an Arab? Subhanallah. Allah takes khidmat from whoever he likes. So Hazrat Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullah alayh was Ashik of the Quran, and some of the stories are mentioned of how much love he had for the Holy Quran. Inshallah, we will continue with that in the next session if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dua kare ke Allah rabbil alameen. Allah give the tawfiq to the Muslim leaders to throw out their bangles and to wear an amama and to become pure Muslims. Main aapko yun keh raha hoon ke we are all gunegar. I am speaker, I am also gunegar. But to sell your religion, to be a sellout, astaghfirullah al-azim, where your brothers are dying in Sistin, and your brothers are dying in Shishan, and your brothers are dying in Kashmir, and your brothers are dying in Bosnia, and your brothers are dying in Iraq, and overall Muslims are being persecuted all over the world, and if no one speaks, Allahu Akbar, kaise shaitan ne kabza kar liya in logo ke upar mere aziz, how will the nusrat of Allah come? This is perhaps the most difficult period that the Muslim Ummah is going through, the most difficult phase. Allahu Akbar. Allah give the tawfiq, Allah give courage to the Muslims, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at least one should be Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, just one. Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi, when he would do a bayan in Pakistan, and the Pakistani government would not allow him to do a bayan. He was such an ashik of the Rasul, he would wear parda. You know the burqa? The overlapping burqa? And in Pakistan, the police don't touch the woman. They would call another woman to see everything, what is happening. And he would sit on the scooter, and an announcement would be made that Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi is going to do a bayan in that area. And thousands of people would be there. Pakistani people don't get tired. After they can 9:27, people are getting tired now. But you will say, Maulana, you are not like Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi. When you talk, we go to sleep. That is okay. I admit, bhai, mera kusur hai, main kamzor hoon, mere andar khami hai. Koi baat nahi. But Allah aapko jazai khair de, that you come and sit and make sabr. Allah give you jazai khair. So when he would make a bayan, the police would be there looking for Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi. Sheikh Haq Nawaz, Maulana Haq Nawaz Jangvi, Maulana Haq Nawaz, he would wear a parda all and cover his eyes, and he would come, and then slowly his bodyguard would take him near the stage, and people would be wondering, what's this masturat, what's this lady doing here? And slowly Maulana Haq Nawaz, in front of all the people there, would remove his chadar and his parda and say, oh Pakistani police, look at me, I'm here, are you supposed to stop me from doing a bayan? And subhanallah, all the public would block all of them. There's no way that anybody can come. And he says, I want all of you to record what I am going to say. And then he would start a bayan. Oh, what a bayan. How his bayan was. Allah give jazai khair to him. And when he would do a bayan, I remember he would always say, I don't want many people. I just want 313 people. How many people? 313. Why? Because of? Ashabi. But then recently Mufti Difayatullah Sahab, the short alim, Allah Pak, he would always say, Chota Admi Choti Baat. He has passed away, Allah give him jazai khair. Even when he had a big madrasa, when he would come for chanda, he would go to the people and say, Bhai, mujhe zyada nahi chahiye. Sirf 313 pounds hai. Kitna hai? All I want from you, brother, is 313 pounds. Ashabi, brother. These were great scholars. Allah Rabbul Alameen give them jazai khair. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Do share them. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من رزاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين